Sight. Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sairam, and a very good morning and a warm welcome to today's Thursday Life. You're with me, Raghu, and this is a segment, Service Love in Action. And this live broadcast is coming to you straight from the abode of highest peace, the spiritual capital of the universe, Prashanthi Nilayam. Well, let me start today's segment by quoting a poem from Rabindranath Tagore's Gitanjali. I quote, "Pluck this little flower and take it, delay not. I fear lest it droop and drop into the dust. I may not find a place in thy garland, but honor it with a touch of pain from thy hand and pluck it. I fear lest the day end before I am aware and the time of offering go by. Though its color be not deep and its smell be faint, use this flower in thy service and pluck it while there is time." Unquote. Well, dear listeners, this is a beautiful, prayerful lyric in which the poet compares himself to be a flower and prays to the Lord to pluck the flower before it fades away and drops. That is, the poet prays to the Lord to take him in Lord's service. In the same way, dear listeners, let us all collectively pray to Lord to make us his worthy instrument in his divine mission. Well, the time right now in our studio is 5 minutes past 11 o'clock a.m. and it's a fine day, a wonderful morning here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram. Today is 27th of February and it's the occasion of Mahashivaratri, and Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram is in a festive mode. The festival of Mahashivaratri is one of the most important festivals in India. It falls on the 14th day of the Krishna Paksha, dark fortnight of the Magha month of the Hindu calendar. The very word Shivaratri means auspicious night. All over the country, people throng to Shiva temples and spend the night in worship and contemplation of the divine. Shivaratri as a festival has gained a lot of importance here at Prashanthi Nilayam because it was during this festival that Swami chooses to reveal his divinity. Baba, out of his infinite love for humanity, used to materialize lingas in the Shivaratri evening from within his being. Well, lingas are an oval-shaped object which is the fittest symbol of divinity. This emergence of the linga was called Lingodbhavam. Thousands of devotees thronged to Prashanthi Nilayam on this very auspicious day to celebrate this holy night with their beloved Lord's divine presence. Swami has explained the significance of linga and said, and I quote, "The linga is just a symbol, a sign, an illustration of the beginningless, the endless, the limitless, for it has no limbs, no face, no feet, no front or back, no beginning or end. Its shape is like the picture one imagines the nirakara, formless, to be. In fact, linga means liyate gamyate, that is, that in which all forms and names merge, that towards which all names and forms are proceeding to attain fulfillment. It is the fittest symbol of the all-pervasive, all-knowing and all-powerful." Unquote. Well, let me now give you some Prashanthi updates. The Mahashivaratri celebrations here at Prashanthi Nilayam will be celebrated tomorrow, that is 28th of February. And the day will start at 8:30 with group songs sung by Swami students, and then the Linga Abhishekam will commence at 4:20 in the evening, followed by Akhanda Bhajan at 6 p.m. So, dear listeners, you can watch all these programs live from our website, radiosight.org. Today in this segment, I'm happy to be joined by Suresh Rao sir, and he'll be talking to us on the topic Seva and Sadhana. And under the section, You Can Make a Difference, in which I talk about people who have changed, who have made some difference in society by their humanitarian work. Today I'll be talking about Florence Nightingale, also called the Lady with the Lamp, who started the nursing profession in this world. Well, nursing is a profession within the healthcare sector focused on the care of the individuals, families and communities so they may attain, maintain or recover optimal health and quality of life. Florence Nightingale was born on 12th of May 1820. She was a celebrated British social reformer and statistician and the founder of modern nursing. She came to prominence while serving as a nurse during the Crimean War, where she tended to wounded soldiers. She was known as the Lady with the Lamp after her habit of making rounds at night. In the year 1860, Nightingale laid the foundation of professional nursing with the establishment of a nursing school at the St. Thomas Hospital in London. It was the first secular nursing school in the world, now part of the King's College London. The Nightingale Pledge taken by new nurses was named in her honor, and the annual International Nurses Day celebrated around the world on her birthday, that is on 12th May. Her social reforms include improving healthcare from all sections of British society, improving healthcare and advocating for better hunger relief in India, helping to abolish laws regulating prostitution that were overly harsh to women, and expanding the acceptance forms of female participation in the workforce. So, dear listeners, we'll be talking more about life and humanitarian works of Florence Nightingale, and we'll be listening to Suresh Rao sir, but in a while from now. So to begin with, let's listen to few devotional songs.
God.
with Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sairam, dear listeners, welcome once again to today's Thursday Live, and I'm Raghu, hosting the segment Service Love in Action. Today is 27th of February, and tomorrow is the Mahashivaratri festival celebration here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram. Well, let's now come to the icing of the cake on the cake of today's segment. As I said, that will be a talk by Suresh Rao, sir, and I'm happy to have sir with us right now in our studio. Sairam, sir, greetings and a warm welcome to studio.
Ah, thank you, Raghu. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Dear listeners, sir is a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba. He was born and brought up in Mumbai, here in India. And sir was a chemical engineer by profession. Well, after his retirement from BARC, that is Baba Atomic Research Center, sir and his wife, Mrs. Sheila Rao, settled down here at Prashant Nilayam. And ever since, from December 2004, sir has been serving Bhagwan here at Radio Sai Studio in Admin and Accounts Department, and his wife at Western Canteen as cashier. Well, in fact, sir is not new for many of our listeners, I'm sure, because sir had been on air many times participating in the segment Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, which is hosted by Prem and Sai Prakash every Thursday at 7:30 p.m., and sir has also joined me in one of the earlier segments of Service Love in Action, where sir spoke to us about the essence of seva, the importance of seva, the benefits of seva and service to society. And today sir has joined me for speaking to us on the topic seva and sadhana. So sir, thank you for joining me. And so now it's all yours. Yes. So please tell us about seva and sadhana.
Thank you, Raghu. Yeah, and with my humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, and wishing you all a very happy, safe, sacred, holy Shivratri that's coming tomorrow. I will start with my talk on seva for as sadhana, seva for the salvation of man. We normally associate seva with helping the poor, the deprived, and the underprivileged. This is seva of a very high order, finding various ways and means of serving the have-nots, improving the efficiency and the efficacy of the seva done, the various methodologies to reach out and reach more and more people so that they are brought within the ambit of seva, the dispossessed and the ill-disposed, by whatever practical means possible, is seva of a very high order. And this is the seva done by the Sai organization all over India and abroad, elsewhere in the world, by Sai Sevaks. As you may all know and hear from our Radio Sai Seva programs, that this seva is going on all over the world at various locations and of a different quality and quantity. All can hope, aspire, and be fortunate enough to do this type of seva, the young as well as the old, because age is not a bar. But then, by the larger definition of the term seva, every act of ours can be transmuted into seva by our sublime thoughts, our holistic approach, and our loving attitudes towards others. As the saying goes, it is nice to be important, but it is more important to be nice. Talk softly and sweetly, says Sai. Smile and wish others, wherever we may come across them, who may be indifferent or even considered as our enemies, the so-called wicked, etc. In other words, spreading love in thought, word and action is the highest form of seva. As Swami says, start the day with love, end the day with love, spend the day with love. That is the way to God. Prophet Muhammad says, even to smile at another with love is counted as seva. Initially, seva therefore starts as a sadhana, as a means to an end. But ultimately, the means are as important as the end. And finally, the means and the end merge and become one. It then becomes ultimate fulfillment, total love all the way. That is the life of love. Spirituality is the manifestation of this love, this divinity inherent and latent in all men. As Swami Vivekananda puts it, doctrines, dogmas, books, temples, rituals, etc. are but secondary details. Love is foremost and first. It is always good to sublimate human tendencies and practices so as to raise ourselves to a higher level. This can be done by, rather than humanize the sublime, that is bringing God to our level, it is the ascent of man from the animal to human and then to the divine that is what is intended. The index of morality is the degree of unselfishness in man's work as seva, as sadhana. The more unselfish the man, the more moral he is. Swami says, morality is the way to immortality. Selfless seva is therefore the most commendable and the fastest and speediest way to reach the goal of self-purification and ultimately self-realization. Purity is the index in the spiritual field, and selfless seva leads one to the acme of self-purification through highest moral standards. Didn't Christ say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, in his Sermon on the Mount? Christ did not say, blessed are the meek, or blessed are the humble, or blessed are the peacemaker, or blessed are the merciful, for they shall see God. He only said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Thus only the pure shall see God. Purity at all levels of the inner man, his emotions, his thoughts, his heart and the mind. In other words, head, heart and the hands will lead to Trikarana Shuddhi or the threefold purification. Another point which I wish to make here is about Adam's fall that the Bible talks about. When Adam fell, it was a fall from purity, as Adam was a pure soul created by God in his very own image. And this fall of man was called the original sin. But Adam was originally pure, and so purity is Adam's original state and not the original sin. Swami says this purity leads to divinity. It is of utmost importance. Unity, purity, divinity, as his Sai says. It's only then that man surrenders completely to his higher true self and says, let go, let God. In other words, let go of the ego and let God take over. The ego is thus annihilated, and for the sincere selfless sevak, this service is the only true pathway. The apparent man, jiva, gives way to the real man, the Atman. The Bhagavad Gita teaches intense, earnest, selfless activity with supreme serenity, which is the secret of the nature of work. That is, work for work's sake, love for love's sake, without the eye on the fruits of one's actions. Such an aspirant sees action in inaction and also inaction in action, as the Gita says, and thus develops constant integrated awareness. The sevak is ultimately led to his origin, the source from which he has come, but has inadvertently got entangled in the webs of Maya and into this world of sense attachments along the way, and thus lost his true moorings and bearings. No more will he be fooled by the vagaries of Maya, no more fear, no more death. By steadfastly pursuing selfless love and service to others, he has gained a foothold into the realm of the eternal and the everlasting blissful Atman. This is true practical Vedanta, and Vedanta in practice at its best. Thus the sevak who is calm, forgiving, compassionate, free from passions, becomes the most efficient worker and accomplishes much more silently and with great serenity. He realizes the truth of the Vedantic concept of the one without a second, that there is only one existence, one life, one heart, one religion, one caste, that we, the whole of humanity, is physically, mentally, morally, and spiritually one. Love for oneself then means love for all, as all are one. Faith in oneself then means faith in all, as all are one. This earth for him turns into a glorious paradise, a hallowed place where truth, harmony, and peace prevails. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks, the hands work, and the mind unifies. He attains to perfection. Man invents symbols for worship, graven images and clay idols, when better symbols already exist, in the form of the living man, the living entity, an emblem of God. This is the human temple, the body wherein God resides. Thus, Manav Seva becomes Madhav Seva, as Swami Vivekananda says, if we cannot see God in fellow beings, how can we see Him in clouds and earthen images? It's only then that we can comprehend Christ's statement, if someone slaps you on one cheek, offer him the other, but not until then. For the sevak, the world stands transformed into the divine, and one stands on sacred, hallowed ground, with total self-surrender to one who is everywhere and pervades everything. The sevak wears glasses of love instead of glasses of anger or fear or hatred. For if we are pure, how can we see the impure? If we are free, how can we see the transient and the bound? Weep that we see evil, for we see outside what lies within ourselves. Or rather, what is within is what is seen without. This the selfless sevak realizes truly. He is the most blessed, for he has worked out his salvation, nay, his total emancipation, and divine grace has descended upon him. Sticking to one path, one goal, and one truth, that is seva, has led him to the one without a second, which is truth, immanent in this universe as well as the transcendental. The ego is annihilated by true service. Seva is a powerful tool for inner purification or purification of the heart. As Swami says, I want quality and not quantity. This applies to seva. The knots of the heart, Hridaya Granthi, are cut asunder. Body attachments and bonds of samsara are broken. And he becomes a cleansed person, an open book of life. Once Swami gave a very scholarly discourse on the Upanishads, quoting a lot of Sanskrit verses in early years. At the end of the discourse, Professor V.K. Gokak, the first Vice Chancellor, said to Swami, Swami, when did you get the time to go through all these hallowed scriptures? To which Swami replied, Gokak, I do not have the bad habit of reading books. Book knowledge is indirect knowledge or paroksha jnana. When the heart opens, it is the direct perception of knowledge or aparoksha jnana, says Sai. Because seva opens the heart to true compassion and love, the sanctity and sacredness of true service can be felt by the sevak only when he sees the self-satisfaction and the joy of fulfillment he derives immensely from it. Seva is the most powerful tool that Swami has laid emphasis on for our emancipation. Every right-thinking devotee should hitch on to it if he is sincere about cultivating love for God and man. To do it in the proper spirit and with the right attitude is of utmost importance. Many think they are helping the weak and the poor when they do seva for them. This is not the right attitude to carry. We are serving and not helping. In true seva, which is true sadhana, there is no other. Everything is being done for one's own benefit and upliftment. To feel you are helping the world is an immature attitude to have, but is okay for a novice. Thus, I am helping the world is an improper attitude. As Swami Vivekananda says, is God in need of our help to save the world? What a blasphemy. God is giving us the opportunity to serve and thereby redeem ourselves. That stamp of humility and meekness alone will lead man forward in his quest for life. The sense of doership and enjoyership, that is, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc., is sublimated by the true seva. So excellence in seva is what is stressed. Swami once told a story of a calf struggling in a pond full of water while others watch it merrily. One passerby sannyasi, on seeing this, jumps into the water and struggles to bring the calf out. Others watching him ask why he did it, as they were having so much fun watching it struggle. The sannyasi replies, I did not do it to save the calf. I did it because on seeing the calf struggling, there was a stab of pain in my heart. And to assuage it and overcome it, I had to jump into the lake to bring off the calf. That was true empathy. Here I am reminded of the words of Jesus Christ. He said, you believe in me because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe in me in spite of not having seen me. Same will be the case with Sai. Many who have never seen him will come into his fold in future. For he is the antaryamin, the inner motivator of all hearts and all minds. Once Vibhishana, brother of Ravana, asked Hanuman how he was so close to Lord Rama and could interact with him, while Vibhishana, who chanted Ram Nama continuously, had not even had his darshan. Hanuman replied, "O Vibhishana, you have seen Mother Sita suffer here in Sri Lanka, in the Ashoka Vana. Have you ever talked to her and tried to assuage her grief? If you are in Rama's service, you also will get his darshan, sparshan and sambhashan soon enough. For he is Karunamayi, an ocean of compassion." Another day, a youth comes to Swami Vivekananda and says, "Swami, every day I sit in my room, closing all doors and windows, and try to meditate with eyes closed and in an asana posture. But I have not been very successful." Swami replied, "My son, first of all, open all the doors and windows of your room. Open your eyes and look out. Do you not see the weak, the poor and the suffering there? Try to be of some service to them and ease their sufferings a little. You will be more benefited by that than by sitting and meditating with your eyes closed." So we see the great value and significance of seva as love in action, and how it is of great benefit to all of mankind, as well as the sevaks engaged in it. Let us now dwell a little more on the aspect of seva. In the sentence, "I do seva," and the sentence, "I am a sevak," let us see what this means. In "I do seva," I stands for the ego, do stands for the sense of doership. When both of these are erased or got rid of, then seva stands for S-E-V-A. The ego finally vanishes and the jiva becomes deva. We will shortly discuss what this S, E, V and A stand for. In the word "I am a sevak," the thought that I am serving another vanishes, for there is no other and the pure I am alone remains. This I am is the truth, free of all appendages like "I am this" or "I am that" or "I am not this" or "I am a sevak," etc. When the "who am I" statement is realized, then there is no other, for I am the other. The two are not different at all. This truth stands revealed to the true sincere sevak. So, as Swami Vivekananda says, it is the giver that is blessed more than the receiver. Does it then mean that we have to be a professional, perpetual do-gooder? Possibly yes, if the approach and the attitude is right. Along with this, the sevak has to undergo vichara, also which Swami says, sadhana is 70% vichara or contemplation, and 25% the rest of activities. This helps the sevak overcome the darkness of ignorance and gain the light of knowledge through seva as sadhana. How is seva considered as sadhana for salvation? We will try and clarify from the word S-E-V-A itself and describe its various connotations. S stands for service and sacrifice. E stands for equanimity. V stands for vairagya. And A stands for atma-darshan.
Well, sir, very well said. So S is service and sacrifice, E equanimity, V vairagya and A atma-darshan. In fact, it's very true, as you said, the man's very nature is purity, and you gave the example of Adam, right, sir?
Right, right.
So from purity, we should go to divinity, and seva is one of the path for this.
Oh yes, very speediest path.
And also you said the feeling of oneness, the feeling of empathy is required. In fact, when you give the example of that calf falling and a person rescuing it, so I was reminded of what one Swami had said.
Yes.
So once it seems Swami had said that when you are going in a forest, if a thorn pricks our leg, so what do? We immediately bend and with using our hand we take off the thorn.
Yes.
Why we do this? Because both, even the hand and the whole body feels the pain, just like how the foot felt the pain. So the whole body is connected.
Yes.
In the same way, the whole world is one family, and we should feel others' pain. The empathy should be there. That's the main quality for seva.
Yes.
So as you said, sir, now seva and sadhana, and we will talk more. You will be talking more about the abbreviation that you give for seva, that is S, service and sacrifice, E, equanimity, V, vairagya, and E, atma darshan. So before we go into it, I would like to play few of your favorite bhajans. Mm-hmm. So please tell, sir, which bhajan I can play which is very close to your heart, and also please tell why it's your favorite.
Yeah, you raised a nice query, Raghu. In fact, because Shiva has always been a favorite of mine among the bhajans,
mm-hmm.
and tomorrow happens to be Shivratri, I would recommend one or two of those bhajans on Shiva. One is it is not a bhajan, it may be a song, comes in Revati Raga. Shambho, Shiva Shambho, Swayambho.
Okay.
You remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is one I like very much. The other one is on Har Har Gange, He Nat Raja, He Shiva Raja. That is in Raga Vakula Bharani, Bharanam, sorry. Yeah, that is what I think it is, and for the bhajan. And the third bhajan also I think is that same Raga. Om Tat Sat Namah Shivaya, Hari Om Tat Sat Namah Shivaya. Some of these I have enjoyed when Ravi Kumar used to sing.
Yes.
I think some of them are sung by Ravi Kumar.
Yes. In fact, it will be very nice to play Shiva bhajans and songs today, as tomorrow happens to be the Shivaratri
festival. Yes,
so you told one song on Shiva and two bhajans. So to begin with, let me play for you the two bhajans that you said, sir. And after your talk, we'll also play the song. So,
oh yes.
So dear listeners, that was Suresh Rao, sir, and he is talking about seva and sadhana, on the topic seva and sadhana. And in fact, the talk is not yet over. So just for a break, let me play the two bhajans which he has requested, and these bhajans are on Lord Shiva. And after the bhajans, we will again resume the talk by sir.
Har Har Gange, Har Har Gange. Raja Har 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 Gange, Hee Nat Raja, Hee Shiva Raja, Har 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 Gange, Har Har Gange, Har Har Gange. Parjipurishwara Jaya Gangadhara, Parjipurishwara Jaya Gangadhara, Har 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 Gange. Ha
हर 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 गंगे, शंकरा शिव शंकरा शिव शंकर शंकर साई, 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 हर हर गंगे हर हर गंगे, हे नट राजा हे शिव राजा हर 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 गंगे, हर हर गंगे हर हर गंगे, बसपुरीश्वरा जय गंगाधरा, हर 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 गंगे, शंकरा शिव शंकरा शिव शंकर शंकर साई, शंकरा शिव शंकरा शिव शंकर शंकर साई, शंकरा शिव शंकरा शिव शंकर शंकर साई, हर हर गंगे हर हर गंगे,
हरि ओम तत्सत् नमः शिवाय, हरि ओम तत्सत् नमः शिवाय, साई ओम तत्सत् नमः शिवाय, साई ओम तत्सत् नमः शिवाय, हरि ओम तत्सत् नमः शिवाय, शिव शिव शिवाय नमः शिवाय, शिव शिव शिवाय नमः शिवाय, साई ओम तत्सत् नमः शिवाय, हरि ओम तत्सत् नमः शिवाय, हरि ओम तत्सत् नमः शिवाय, साई ओम तत्सत् नमः शिवाय, शिव शिव शिवाय नमः शिवाय, साई ओम तत्सत् नमः शिवाय, साई ओम तत्सत् नमः शिवाय, हरि ओम तत्सत् नमः शिवाय, Shiva Shiva Shivaya Namah Shivaya. Sai Om Tat Sat Namah Shivaya. Shiva Shivaya Namah Shivaya Sai Om Tat Sat Namah Shivaya Sai Om Tat Sat Namah Shivaya Hari Om Tat Sat Namah Shivaya.
Tune in to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Dear listeners, loving Sai Ram once again, and a warm welcome to today's Thursday Live. Well, the time right now in our studio is 11:55. And it's a warm afternoon here at Prashant Nilayam. Perfect picture weather condition. And I'm Raghu from Team Radio Sai, hosting the segment Service Love in Action. And today I have with me Suresh Rao sir, who has joined me, and he is talking to us about on the topic Seva and Sadhana. So once again, warm greetings to you, sir.
Yeah, I will continue where I left off.
Yeah, in fact, you had come till the abbreviation that you gave for Seva, that is, S is for service and sacrifice, E for equanimity, V for Vairagya, and A for Atma Darshan. Yes, sir, after that.
Yes, coming to the first one, that is S for service and sacrifice. We generally associate sacrifice with giving up what we are attached to or giving up what we are fond of. In service, this happens most smoothly and automatically. For the word Vedanta, the word sacrifice means giving up all that is illusory by nature and which binds one more and more to the samsara or the dualities of life. For one is lured by these illusions. Sacrifice, therefore, is truly giving up the false as false, and therefore not worthy of pursuit. Sanskrit word tyaga is also used here most appropriately. In fact, as somebody mentioned, the word Gita, or that is the Bhagavad Gita, its essence of that meaning of the word Gita comes from the word itself when it is reversed. It becomes tyagi, or renunciation, or tyaga. In fact, the Upanishadic statement says, na karmana prajaya na dhanena tyaga naiki amritatva manasuhu. So, tyaga is this basic necessity in seva. Service and sacrifice brings about this tyaga naturally to the sevak. For the novice sadhaka, giving up this illusory nature is not possible in one shot, unless he is so advanced and mature in spiritual knowledge and practices that, then like a ripe mango which falls off the tree of samsara, never to go back to the tree once again, is total emancipation. Completely detached and separated from illusions of Maya. Others have to go through a process of refinement of the jiva and the inner man before the ripening of the soul through a gradual process can take place. Our Swami states that seva is the best sadhana for this rapid progress of the soul, if carried out as expressed by him, as well as by our scriptures based on the principle of karma yoga. Coming to the second part, E for equanimity. This word is mostly misunderstood. It is not possible to be a man of equanimity without oneself realizing that he is the Atman and not the body-mind complex of the individual or the jiva. The best example we see here is the case of Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra. In the first chapter of Vishada Yoga, Arjuna, who has worked hard to prepare for the battle, a warrior par excellence, brave, mighty, and with all the great qualities and virtues required of a seasoned warrior, he surveys the opposition on the battlefield and suddenly his mind is filled with remorse. Why? He is stunned to see his close relatives, friends, gurus, cousins, uncles, granduncles arrayed against him as enemies to be fought with and vanquished. The I and mine illusion has taken hold of him. This is the ahankara and mamakara aspect of life which Sai tells us about. And one who lives and is conquered by bound by the dualities of life. He also sees Krishna witnessing at the same time the scene in front of him in the battlefield with great calm and serenity, unmindful and unaffected by all that he witnesses around him. How is that possible for a man? He thinks. Here understanding finally dawns on Arjuna that he is not as brave or as great as he thought he was. He is overcome by despair and sorrow at a time when he should have been of stable mind and courageous. Suddenly, his hero is a man who has risen above such dualities of life. In other words, a man of equanimity or a sthita prajna. Arjuna therefore seeks and asks Krishna in the chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita, Sankhya Yoga, Sita prajnasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava sita dhim kim prabhasita kimasita vrajeta kim. Meaning, O Krishna, what is the mark of a God-realized soul, stable of mind and established in perfect tranquility or equanimity? How does the man of equanimity speak? How does he sit? How does he talk? Why does Arjuna raise this relevant question to Krishna? Arjuna is confronted with a moral dilemma on the battlefield. He sees his one time near and dear ones arrayed against him and his brothers. The I and my feelings have entered his mind and destabilized him. Arjuna for the first time has come face to face with his psyche and does not like what he sees. He has lost his poise and equanimity and his mind is not stable. His pride in his accomplishments as the bravest bowman and the archer has received a severe drubbing. His bow slips from his hand. His hero and man of admiration is now a man of true equanimity, tranquil and unaffected by the ups and downs of life. Thus he raises this query. To this Krishna replies, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatam atmaiva na atmutna trishtam titadi stithat prajnodya dochate. Sorry, I'm a little ప్రజహాతి యదా కామాన్ సర్వాన్ పార్థ మనోగత ఆత్మన్యేవ ఆత్మన తృష్ట స్థిత ప్రజ్ఞోద్య క్షతితి. When one thoroughly abandons all cravings of the mind and is satisfied in the self, through the self, then he is called man of stable mind. Then he continues, Dukheshvanu dvigna manaha, sukheshu vigata spruha, vita raga bhaya krodha, sita dhir muni ruchate. The sage whose mind remains unperturbed in sorrows, whose thirst for pleasure has altogether disappeared, and who is free from passion, fear and anger, is called stable of mind or a man of equanimity. Just as a tortoise withdraws its senses, the head and limbs into its shell when facing danger or aggression, so too is the yogi's senses and the mind withdrawn from the attachment to the sense objects through self-control. So that is equanimity. Third, we come to Vairagya, V for Vairagya. This word Vairagya is called dispassion in the English language, which is rising or raising of the mind above its circumstances, aimed at the transcendental. In such a case, dispassion develops in man as a consequence of viveka or discrimination. That is the power to separate the transitory or the evanescent from the permanent or eternal in life. Person involved in seva with the right spirit gradually develops this quality of head and heart, so valuable, by the gradual erasement of the ego, developing compassion for fellow man and seeing the unifying aspects in humanity rather than the diversity, the divisiveness, the differences, the doubts and the separateness. We see this in the case of Mother Teresa and other great sevaks of humanity whose hearts bled for the poor, the miserable and the suffering. Their hearts were mellowed to such an extent that their service was spontaneous and perfect. The empathy factor and the sympathy aspects of the seva were foremost in their hearts. It was this oneness of heart and spirit, so much so that the dividing line between the server and the one who is served was erased completely. Your sufferings become my sufferings. The subject, the object and the predicate become one, which then culminates into a state of higher consciousness or what we call the samadhi state. So this is what we mean by V for Vairagya. The last one is A for Atma Darshan, the fourth one. This is the culmination of the principle of seva, leading to atmic consciousness. The jiva bhava, the individuality, is dissolved through right seva, along with the I and mine aspect, which we talked of earlier, leading to total surrender to the higher self or consciousness. And there is emergence culminating in the divine. This then becomes the life divine. This is the state of a jnani or a jivan mukta. Swami gives the example of a salt doll trying to gauge the depth of the ocean. It dissolves irreversibly in it, losing its name and form, and becomes the infinite ocean itself. So initially, seva becomes the means or the pathway to the goal, but finally, the means as well as the goal merge and are one. The sevak rises to the higher attitude of seva as a spiritual sadhana, wherein the sevak, the act of seva, and the one to whom it is being rendered merge into oneness. This divinity pervades all acts of his. That proves the efficacy of true service. Seva is a powerful tool for inner purification of the heart. Hands that serve are holier than the lips that pray, says Sai. Seva thus opens the heart to true compassion and love. True seva thus purifies the antakarana and leads to chitta shuddhi or inner purification. This is most essential step before moksha. Thus the manas, buddhi, chitta and ahankara, which form the antakarana of man, are cleansed and God comes to his own true home, which is the altar of the heart of his devotee. So God is known as Chitta Chora or stealer of such purified hearts. The Makkhan Chora, the thief who steals the clarified butter churned out of the treated milk or curds. That is, the heart is so plowed and made soft. And so he leads the sevak to final emergence through the path of Karma Yoga. A true sevak believes in offering devoted service with tana, mana and dhana ultimately. That is, offers his body, mind and other resources. This is true surrender or sharanagati of man. Seva as sadhana thus becomes practical Vedanta, and seva builds up the feeling that we all belong to the one family of man. There is no high and low, rich or poor amidst them. Vasudeva Kutumbakam is realized. Vasudeva is the head of the family and all are his family members or children. An atheist may also do seva, but being a non-believer in a personal God, his approach and attitude will be bereft of the element of divine feelings, and the effect on him will be of a different quality. If he wishes to purify and broaden his heart and his love for fellow man by worship of the nameless and formless nature of God, he has to give up body attachments in order to rise spiritually. The motivating force may not be the same unless he wishes to move into selfless activities through compassion for the suffering without personal motives of gain in name, fame or any other profit. This is difficult unless you have an ideal man to look up to as an example to emulate. What ideal would be better for the sevak than to have Swami, our dear Lord Sai, as the ideal to emulate? That is, if he believes that Swami is the Guru and true Guru and God. For ultimately each one of us worships our own gods. For some it is the God of profit, God of name, God of fame, or the God Lord Sai. The atheist questions the presence of God. He should also question the presence of universal presence of fear, death, suffering and the like in this life, which are universal in nature, and find out the antidote for them in order to free oneself of them. Buddha did the same and attained realization. He wanted to know the cause of suffering and the way out of this suffering. He did not preach any God, and even his religion was considered atheistic. But he was a man of the heart, the compassionate one, and through these means he attained enlightenment. A true sevak will be of service to society in whichever field of endeavor he may occupy, as his attitudes towards work will be correct. He will be self-motivated, a positive thinker, take up seva as a part of his lifestyle for his own actualization and the betterment of all fellow beings. He will rise above the formful aspects of Swami as he gradually realizes that Swami is not different from his message, to love all, serve all, and that Swami is a symbol of truth, beauty and goodness. From the personal aspects, he will thus rise to the impersonal or the cosmic truth of Swami. His omnipresence, omnipotence and omniscience will become more and more evident to him. This we have seen in the life of many sevaks who have never even visited Prashanti Nilayam in their lifetimes, but are doing wonderful seva through divine guidance. They may work through the Sai organization or beyond it, but whatever they will do, if done sincerely, will bear the stamp of Sai on their forehead, which says, "He is mine, he is dear to me, he is not different from me." Jai Sai Ram.
Were eating his flesh and he was about to die. And Mother Teresa, without giving a second thought, she got him to her ashram and started cleaning the wounds, started cleaning him, dressing him. And then Mother Teresa's biographer, the Malcolm Magridge, the writer, he came and he saw this and he was aghast. And then he asked Mother Teresa, Mother, how are you able to do this? I won't do this even if someone gives me $1 million. And then back came the reply, Mother Teresa said, "See, even I won't do this for $1 million. In fact, I won't do this even for $2 million. But I am doing it for Jesus Christ."
Wonderful.
That is, I think, the highest state of egoless
service, yes. Surrender to the Lord.
Love for Lord.
Yeah.
Those are the qualities required. Serving the society. And you also said that seva uses the feeling of oneness in all. When we do seva, we should see God in the beneficiaries. In fact, Swami has often said that when we serve others, we are actually serving ourselves.
Correct. Yes.
We are annihilating the ego, reducing the ego which is in us and developing more compassion and sympathy for others and others' problems. So it was nice listening to you, sir, about seva and sadhana, the topic.
Thank you.
So now, sir, we know that you have written a book on poetry, right?
Yes.
So can you share any poem on seva?
Yes, there is something on practical Vedanta which deals with the seva aspect. That is one of the poems. I'll just go through it.
Yes.
Sai, as Lord of Universe, has countless tasks to perform. Serene, free, smiling faces belies all that we see, observe. Easy, hassle-free, all tasks accomplished effortlessly. Ever active, not idle, even for a fraction of a second. Gita taught with supreme serenity amidst intense activity. The secret of work, which is the goal of Vedanta. Amidst the din of battle, while commanding a huge army, Arjuna took time to listen to Krishna's sublime utterances. Sai says, "I gave you a pure heart when you set out. You have to offer this pure heart back to me, untarnished. From God we came, and unto Him, the source, we shall return. Let it not be dust, that is the body. Dust thou art, and to dust thou returnest. Animals are temples of God, and worthy of worship too. Man is the highest temple, the Taj Mahal of all temples. Worship realizes the God in man. That moment we will be free. All bonds vanish, all illusions, is Vedanta in practice. Entire vision of world will change. Instead of a prison, it will be a playground, a heaven, a joyous place. Blissful, no more hell. Eternal music will enthrall us. Practical knowledge comes to the fore in truth. If we are pure, how can we see the impure? If we are free, how can we see the transient? Weep that we see evil, for what is within is also without. Live, strive to meet the ideal, work out total emancipation. Balance of mind, equanimity is the practical attitude. Calm, forgiving minds without passions accomplish much. Serene, undiluted mind gives undivided attention to all tasks. Throws not one off balance. Tasks well done with dedication. God first, world next, myself last makes for practicality. Let go, let God. Religious and secular life is one. All work is holistic, sacred, sanctified with proper practice. Bend the body, mend the senses, end the mind, say Sai. Practical knowledge destroys not the world, but explains it. Destroys not the person, but elevates him. Destroys not individuality, but targets indivisibility. Cognizes the world with love, which harms not, but smiles back. Shot by Rama's arrows, Ravana's last words on the deathbed. Never delay your good intentions, act on them. I wish to turn all sea water into sweet water, transfer all beings from hell to heaven, but procrastinated, says Ravana. So God is in our own heart and those of all living beings. Other creeds say there is no God except Allah, Jehovah, etc. Practical knowledge says there is nothing that is not God. Practicality is for making of the real universal man. Jai Sai.
Thank you very much, sir. It was a nice poem on Seva. In fact, when you said that about Ravana, when he was on the deathbed, yes, it seems that Lord Rama, he told Lakshmana to go and ask something from Ravana. Even though Ravana was a demon, he was a very great jnani. And Ravana at that time said that whenever you get a good thought, you should act immediately, do it immediately. Okay, sir, thank you very much for sharing with us.
Oh, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today.
Yes, sir, on yes. Seva and sadhana, on the topic. So, one final song I'll be playing for you, sir, right now. In fact, that song you had requested in the beginning, that Bo Shambho Shivambho, the song on Lord Shiva. In fact, tomorrow happens to be the festival of Mahashivaratri, and it's a very apt song, I think, to be played right now. So, dear listeners, that was Suresh Rao, sir. And thank you, sir. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Raghu. It was a pleasure.
So, with one final song, dear listeners, I'll be ending my episode of Service Love in Action. In fact, the time right now is 12:20, and after the song, Brother Arvind and Prem will be joining you for the next segment of today's Thursday Life, that is Afternoon Satsang. So, I place this segment at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and I sign off. Jai Sai Ram.
Shambho, Shiva Shambho, Swayambho. Bho, Shambho, Shiva Shambho, Swayambho. Bho, Shambho,
Shiva Shambho Swayambho, Bho Shambho, Shiva Shambho Swayambho, Bho Shambho, Shiva Shambho Swayambho, Bho Shambho, Shiva Shambho Swayambho, Bho Shambho, Shiva Shambho Swayambho. Gadara Shankara Karunakara Mamava Bhava Sahara Taraka Bho Shambho Siva Shambho Swayambho Nirguna Parabrahma Swarupa Gamagama Bhuta Prabhanjarahita Nirguna Parabrahma Swarupa Gamagama Bhuta Prabhanjarahita Nijaguga Nihita Nitantakananta Nijaguna Nihita Nitantakananta Ananda Adishaya Akshaya Linga Nijaguna Nihita Nitanta Gananda Ananda Adishaya Akshaya Linga Shambho Shiva Shambho Swayambho Om Om Tarikida Gida Do Dimita Dimita Dimidimi Gida Gida Do Om Om Tarikida Tarikida Gida Do Adanga Muni Vara Vandita Isha Kalla Digambara Veshita Vesha Nitya Niranjana Nitya Radesha Shiva Shambho Swayambho, Shiva Shambho Swayambho, Shiva Shambho.